If you're hearing this, it means tickets are now on sale for our streaming Cybactacular.
That's what we're calling the streaming show of our Star Trek V review that we toured last year. We filmed our Hollywood show, and it's going to be streaming on Thursday, May 16th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And the stream will be available for a couple of weeks after that. If you can't watch right at the premiere time. A couple of pieces of information about this. If you support us at MaximumFun.org/join and your membership is current, check your email inbox because Maximum Fun will have emailed you a promo code to get $5 off your ticket. And also, we have some VIP packages available that include a meet and greet with me and Adam. Those are going fast, so jump on that if you want a meet and greet VIP package. Again, it's greatestgentour.com to get your tickets for the streaming Cybactacular.
Here's to the finest crew in Starfleet.
Engage.
Welcome to The Greatest Generation, a Star Trek podcast by two guys who are a bit embarrassed to have a Star Trek podcast. I'm Ben Harrison.
I'm Adam Pranica.
And we're still doing this, episode 15. This is sort of the beginning of the second half of season one, and it seems like episodes may be getting slightly better. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about Star Trek The Next Generation.
Did you hear that really long sigh? That was my answer to that question.
Oh, I was talking over it. I was trying to qualify my question. boy.
Look, I guess if we're talking about, like, well, we've finally gotten to one of my favorite episodes, which I think is a good moment for the first season, the show in general.
Sure.
Like, we're talking about episode 15 right now, right?
That we are.
Yeah, so
I checked.
15 out of a possible 68 first season episodes.
There's so many. Man, TV used to make so many episodes of seasons.
It's a miracle that they worked at this pace.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the magic number back in the day was if you had 100 episodes of a series, then you could syndicate the repeats.
And they're going for that in one season.
That's where all that mailbox money comes from.
Right, right. That's amazing. Good for them.
Yeah, I mean,
they're really trying to go for it fast, though.
Yeah. Well, I heard that Patrick Stewart didn't even unpack his suitcase for the first season of this show because he thought it was going to get canceled, like, at every turn.
I don't know, man. If you read the first three scripts, I think you'd have a hard time unpacking, too.
Yeah.
The episode title is Too Short a Season.
I think the title has something to do with the fact that there's a guy trying to cheat death, but it is a weird, yeah, it's not a great title. It sort of sounds like it's supposed to be an idiom that everybody knows, but it's not.
Yeah, I sure didn't know it. I don't think I'm an idiot.
No. If you search Too Short a Season, the only thing that comes up is this episode. Like, that's...
Yeah, unlike the last episode where you just type in a bunch of zeros and ones, a bunch of things come up.
Oh, yeah. Deep web, not least of which. So the Enterprise is trying to solve a hostage crisis. They bring aboard this old Admiral Mark Jameson and his wife Anne, on the request of Karnas, who's the governor of this planet that has diplomatic relations with the Federation but is not in the Federation. Karnas is telling them that terrorists have taken the Federation ambassador and his staff hostage, and the only person that they will talk to is Admiral Jameson, who is super old, and everybody's like, why do they even think Jameson is alive? And
was I the only one who expected Karnas to be a magician? Karnas just sounds like a magician name.
It does. It's just like a barrel-chested dude in a kind of bad, like, commandant military outfit. I think we should definitely spend some time talking about the old man makeup that Admiral Mark Jameson is in.
before we do that, I'm sorry. It should be known that you might recognize Karnes as the guy who played Drago's trainer in Rocky IV. Did you get that? It's the same dude.
Oh, man. I am not as familiar with Rocky IV as I am with some of the earlier and later additions to that franchise.
You're going to have plenty of time to acquaint yourself to that franchise when we begin our Rocky Cast podcast at the conclusion of our Star Trek The Next Generation podcast.
Yeah.
You're going to enjoy the shit out of that.
What's it called? Jumping on the art museum steps?
Nah, we'll come up with something better than that.
Yeah. On the fly.
So you're right.
Great at naming things.
We have got to... We're going to spend half of this podcast talking about Jameson's makeup, which can only be described as an Anakin mask from one of the early episodes, just spray painted a flesh color.
Oh my God, it is so bad. It's like this probably looked bad in standard definition, but we are watching it in high definition with 1080 lines of horizontal resolution, and woof, it is hard to look at this old man makeup.
It's like a burlap sack that's been dipped in plaster, flesh-colored plaster, and then just sort of tucked into the neck of his uniform. It's horrifying.
My student film, when I was in film school, had an old man character in it, and I cast one of my friends in that part, one of my film school friends in that part, and he did a great job in the performance of it, but the makeup artist that came and put him in old man makeup had one option for me to choose from, and it was it was like an appliance that was meant for making somebody look like an evil wizard and not like the chairman of the board of a major company, which was what the part was. So we just had this unintentionally insane looking character I mean, it was like a comedy script, so it kind of worked, but I'm going to say this was a student film that had a budget of about $1,000, and my old man looked 10 times as good as this old man, and it was not really old man makeup that we had him in.
How'd you get $1,000 to make a student film back then?
I was selling my ass.
Oh, God. That really got dark. That's not as embarrassing as the West Hot American Summer Story. But
no, not even close.
That's still more embarrassing than you selling your ass.
You've been talking a lot in text messages to me about us putting a West Hot American Summer T-shirt out people to wear.
We've got to do that.
If people that like the show enough to wear a T-shirt, I'd be curious for people to weigh in on Twitter. Use the hashtag #GreatestGen. Let us know if you would wear a T-shirt that says West Hot American Summer in reference to the time I went to summer camp and went around introducing myself as Wesley to everybody because I really liked the character Wesley Crusher and I was like 7 and I thought that was an acceptable thing to do.
Yeah, it's weird that you got exactly no sex out of that deal.
I know. I'd still look back baffled over that.
Moms can't live with them, can't find a great gift for them. It's madness, and it's the same every year. Mother's Day comes around, and it's like, what's it going to be this year? Another robe? Another candle? Slippers? A sweater? Flowers? We've got to do better than that, right? Well, you can. And it's actually the best gift you could possibly give a loved one. An Aura frame. Now, we have a policy to only do ads on our show for things that we actually like and use. And I gotta tell you, the Aura frame is probably the best gift I've ever given. The folks I've given an Aura frame to love it. And I love it too. Because when you give an Aura frame, you're not just giving a person a bunch of old pictures. You're giving them new pictures. Every time you send one, do it. Right now, Aura has a great sale for Mother's Day. Viewers can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com, and the code is SCARVES at checkout to show your support for the show. Terms and conditions apply. When I was growing up, I didn't have anyone to tell me about personal grooming. I had to learn these things on my own. So I'm here to save you some embarrassment and recommend the grooming tools that I use, the products from Manscaped. Now, this is a company that constantly has its mind on your bush. Imagine the meetings they have. Imagine the pictures they have in their PowerPoint presentations. Now imagine your junk looking its best thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0. This thing is the latest Bonch trimming technology. With two interchangeable heads, a standard one for taking just a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code SCARVES at manscaped.com. Nothing like a little spring cleaning in your pants.
Hey, when you listen to podcasts, it really just comes down to whether or not you like the sound of everyone's voices. My voice is one of the sounds you'll hear on the podcast Dr. Game Show, and this is the voice of co-host and fearless leader Joe Firestone.
This is a podcast where we play games submitted by listeners, and we play them with callers over Zoom we've never spoken to in our lives. So that is basically the concept of the show. Pretty chill.
So take it or leave it, bucko. And here's what some of the listeners have to say.
It's funny, wholesome, and it never fails to make me smile.
I just started listening and I'm already binging it. I haven't laughed this hard in ages. I wish I'd discovered it sooner.
You can find Dr. Game Show on MaximumFun.org.
Video games can make you laugh.
They can make you cry.
They can even make you sing.
We're the hosts of Triple Click.
It's a podcast about video games.
This is an exciting time for new games, from Diablo to Final Fantasy.
From Starfield to Street Fighter.
From Zelda to, oh, who are we kidding? We're just going to talk about Zelda.
Whether you play games or you just like hearing about them, we've got you covered.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
After that little diversion, maybe we should return to our classic Fountain of Youth Iran-Contra sci-fi story that we're in the middle of summarizing.
I was thinking more like a Benjamin Button Iran-Contra, but that's
if you're
going to
mash up two storylines in the first season of a sci-fi show, those are the two that you pick right there. So we get the notes on this hostage situation, and it's not good. So they gotta take the ship to this planet to meet up with Ivan Drago's trainer, and also deliver our super old man, who is in a weird wheelchair, like a motorized scooter, but it's like the size of a shopping cart. It's huge.
Yeah, it's like Professor X's wheelchair in the X-Men comics, where it covers his legs and it's like totally motorized. But every time you see it, all you can do is think about like two Teamsters having to schlep it up onto the transporter pad.
Oh yeah, that transporter pad is not ADA compliant.
No,
I think that's
no.
Why you don't see him get off of there.
Yeah, there's steps down from the transporter pad, and I guess you have to assume that this wheelchair's got a hover function, this being the future, but they don't actually show that.
Right. So, sort of away from the situation, the doctor is talking to Picard about his condition, and he's got this disease, this Iverson's disease, which up until now I thought was associated with a bunch of tattoos and a gambling addiction. but oddly has nothing to do with Allen Iverson.
Missed opportunity.
Yeah.
Yeah, this trip, as they travel, Jameson gets stronger and stronger. Initially, he's just kind of doesn't look any younger, but he is goes from being wheelchair bound to doing some walking around, which is very poorly carried out by this actor who cannot for the life of him plausibly look frail.
Yeah, he does in what's supposed to be a real triumphant scene. He's toward the back. He's like at the engineering station of the bridge, and he just sort of gets himself up out of the wheelchair and sort of swings his legs in front of him and walks down what we understand now to be a very ADA compliant bridge space down a gentle slope toward the con.
Yeah, and so we come to understand as he gets less and less old looking that he has taken some alien de-aging drugs to reverse his aging process over the last 2 years, and it's initially quite baffling to the doctor because this disease has no cure, but suddenly he's appearing younger and more energetic, and so I think we see like three or four renditions of this makeup that are supposed to look less and less ancient as time goes on.
I put in my notes that Jameson's medicine should have been called a makeup de-ridiculizer.
Yeah.
Because that is the side effect to taking all these drugs.
Yeah, you sort of wonder how they arrived at the decision to do this the way they did, because, I mean, you see, like, this has been tackled in so many different ways over the years in so many different movies and television shows where, like, how do we show that this character is older or younger in different scenes? Like, mm-hmm. you know, I think about, like, the old lady makeup that they have in Edward Scissorhands on Winona mm-hmm. Ryder. And, you know, it's I feel like it's good makeup, but she's not really, like, the voice doesn't sound right, and it just doesn't quite hang together, and yet is light years ahead of what's going on in this episode. And then other shows where they just have different actors play the different phases, and I feel like that could have been like this guy is not that great an actor, so why not just have three actors play the part?
Like, it's not like they were like, oh my god, we've got to get this guy, and we've got to have him play all the parts. He's so amazing. That is not the case here.
No, this might be, like, I would say this might be the weakest guest performance of any actor that has come on the show for a featured part so far.
You know what's interesting about that is that the lady who plays his wife is an actress named Marcia Hunt, and she's an actress of note from, like, the golden era of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And to see her, like, there's three different kinds of acting happening in this episode. There's Jameson's poor physical and actual acting that we can agree has happened here.
Yeah, and he talks in that, like, arch actor voice, like, I am acting, you know?
There's 80s acting, which everyone else on the show is doing to, you know, to some varying degree of success. And then there's Marcia Hunt's golden era, like sort of inflection acting happening. Yeah. It's a weird stew. And I think what happens is Marcia Hunt just sort of takes the heat off of Jameson, the actor who plays Jameson, a little bit by being real golden era with her line delivery. I think it actually helps out his terribly acted part a little bit in a weird way.
I do want to talk about the character of Jameson's wife, because I feel like one thing that I really appreciated about this episode was that they took her story very seriously. Like, they really, like, she's a real character. Her, like, reaction to this choice that her husband has made is very authentic feeling. And, you know, like, they wrote a real part for this character. And I thought that, like, I almost thought she was a more interesting person for the episode to focus on, in a way.
The part had to be what attracted her to doing the show, because the first day she walked on set and she saw Jameson's makeup, I know she had to be thinking about leaving.
Wait, this guy is supposed to be the same age as me? Fuck you guys.
This is what we think an old person looks like. What do you think, Marcia? We stocked your star wagon full of soft foods. Soft foods and laxatives.
This is becoming a speech.
You're the captain, sir. You're entitled.
Not an type to ramble on about something everyone knows.
So back to this plot. As they're heading to this planet Mordan, Jameson is communicating with Karnas, the military governor of the planet, and Jameson comes to understand that Karnas is, in fact, the one that took the Federation citizens hostage, and there isn't a terrorist situation at all, which has been puzzling everybody because it, you know, they had no prior indication that there was any dissent on this planet. And we come to understand that Karnas is, in fact, doing this as a revenge plot against Jameson for a previous negotiation that he felt in which he felt Jameson fucked him over.
And he's not wrong.
Nope, not wrong. So it was something to do with, like, Karnas hijacking a Federation vessel, like, decades ago, and that he killed a bunch of previous Federation negotiators, and the way that Jameson got the ship back and freed the hostages was by secretly providing Karnas with weapons that he was demanding as his ransom. But what Jameson did in his own private interpretation of the Prime Directive was to provide an equal number of weapons to Karnas's enemies on the planet, and it set off a 4-decade-long war that took millions of lives. And so but we come to understand that essentially Jameson is trying to get the blood off of his hands by going to free these hostages in a legit way, and the only way he feels he can do that is if he's not so frail as he was going into it.
Yeah, so by the time they get to the planet, he's in pretty bad shape. He's basically like a 20-year-old dude with chest pains, and he's really, really sweaty. Like, as sweaty as any character has been on the show up until now, so you know he's in bad shape.
Yeah, he is guy in the hallway with the fire going, yeah. Sweaty.
Nice callback, yeah.
I hope that makes sense to anybody. I don't know that it would.
We're doing the show for us.
Yeah, fuck you, listeners.
So yeah, so they get to the planet and negotiations are about to begin. So they decide to transport down, Picard decides to accompany the away team.
Right, and it's not going to be a negotiation. Jameson is planning a raid. Like, they're going to go just like guns blazing, kill all the security personnel, and leave with the hostages. And you know, he's like, no, I know how this guy thinks. They're going to be in the tunnels under his house. Like, no big deal. They transport down. Data's like, this guy is leading us to a dead end, and he's completely out of his mind. And Picard's like, yeah, let's just see this through. Let's watch him be an idiot for a while. And so, you know,
they follow his puddle around the tunnels.
Yeah, he is fully dripping all over these tunnels, and they cut through a wall with phasers and get in a firefight, and it gets too hot, so they beam the entire way team back up to the ship. And Jameson is really on the brink of his body shutting down because he reveals that he actually took a double dose of the anti-aging drugs, and his organs just can't take the stress of getting younger as fast as they are getting.
I think people are often tempted to take that second dose when they haven't let that first dose really take hold.
Yeah, so, you know, one thing I wrote down that sort of dovetails with that is that the young admiral, the early 20s actor that has been playing this part all the way through, looks like a guy who would be like losing it on pills at a hipster dance party and would be like trying to offer people pills that didn't want them. And he can't maintain, man. He can't maintain.
He reminded me of sort of a sweaty Bill Paxton. I got some Paxton vibes from him.
There's a little bit of Paxton. He's not quite as meaty as Paxton.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I should say that, like, that really is probably insulting to Bill Paxton on a number of levels.
I'm sure he's
not
listening.
The least of which is so, acting.
Yeah.
I meant no offense, Bill.
Just kept talking in one long, incredibly unbroken sentence, moving from topic to topic so that no one had the chance to interrupt. It was really quite hypnotic.
So Karnas is now, like, you know, even more pissed off than he was before because of this raid, and he demands to see Jameson or he's going to start fragging hostages every 15 minutes. So Picard, Dr. Crusher, and Admiral Jameson, who is even sweatier now than he ever was, beam directly to Karnas's office, and Karnas is like, you know, stop this ridiculous ruse. I want to see Jameson, not this kid actor. I'm not buying your bullshit at all.
Who the fuck is this sweaty guy?
Yeah. Yeah. How about you beam that guy up and mop up under where he was standing? Picard,
he would be kicked out of any gym looking the way he does.
Yeah. Picard satisfies Karnas that this is in fact Jameson by showing a handful of screenshots from earlier in the episode when he was in more makeup than he presently is in. And then
another classic moment of showing someone in a scene parts of the episode that we're watching, which I just love.
Right. And then Jameson shows Karnas a scar that was like some kind of blood bond that they made back when they had their original negotiation, and that satisfies Karnas. Decides instead of killing Jameson in revenge is just going to allow him to die the painful death that he is already dying because of his decision to take these alien drugs.
Yeah, just a bunch of chest pains and a pool of sweat. That's his death sentence there. Mm-hmm. Pretty bad way to go.
Yeah, so he dies in his wife's arms. She beams down and Karnas agrees to let the hostages go and seems to be really affected by the story about hubris that Jameson has told him.
So the episode more or less ends with Jameson dying in her arms. The ship then sets course for ISIS 3. So they go from one terror situation to the next.
Yeah.
Choosing not to explore the planet with Fountain of Youth properties. Like, they've basically been told that there is a medicine that can either stop aging or reverse it, and they are not interested at all in finding exploring it, or using it.
Is that this planet, or is it it's some other planet? Where did Jameson get the anti-aging medicine?
I thought they got it. I thought he found it on another planet. I didn't think it was a place that was related to
that's
the setting
at
all.
Thought too. But yeah, Well, Picard probably has orders, you know, and orders is orders.
Right, right. I gotta be honest with you, man. I think, you know, we've reviewed a lot of quote unquote bad episodes, but this one wasn't bad in the ways that bad show has been so far this season. This
right.
one was just really cold feeling to me and not fun, like in any way. There was no storyline, either the A or the B storyline. Neither of them were fun.
They didn't really connect you emotionally with the hostages, so you didn't really. It didn't really feel like a real threat there. And then, like, you have there's no appealing part of Admiral Jameson to hang your hat on. So he just seems like a dickhead that you kind of don't want the best for, you know?
Right. Right.
Like from jump, he comes on the ship and starts bossing Picard around, saying like, I'm in charge of the mission. You're a piece of shit. And Picard is like, all right, fine. Jeez. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Of course, Captain, you command the ship, but the mission is mine. I trust you are in full agreement.
Yes, sir. Of course.
Right. And we also never really get the stakes of it. Like, if there are hostages, we never see them. He makes a threat to kill them, but because we never see the hostages, we aren't, you know, emotionally attached in any way to that possible outcome. It just felt real flat to me. And I don't know, like, for me, I think we laugh a lot at the terrible racism of a couple of the episodes, at a couple of the plot choices and a few others. But I think this episode is the least favorite episode I've seen so far in the season, because it's so flat and because there are no stakes and there's nothing really likable about anything that's happening. I don't know. I just came out of the episode feeling real, like, not bummed, but just like, what was that? Like, this is supposed to be sci-fi. There's supposed to be an element of adventure and intrigue, but I just was never invested in anyone.
The closest it got to interesting for me was a sort of, it really just grazed this, but the idea of a distinction between vindication and atonement. Like, Jameson definitely doesn't seem to feel much guilt for the kind of criminal act that he did to resolve the earlier crisis, you know, 40 years ago. But he does seem to want to go to, like, make sure that his good name will ring out in history. And that was interesting. Like, there's, like, the kind of hubris of that. Like, I don't want to undo the harm I did so much as make sure that that harm isn't seen as a blight on my record. But as interesting and chewy an idea that is, they don't really dig very much deeper than that. And, like, that's definitely, like, where the moral of the story is. Like, Picard kind of, like, moralizes a bit at the end of the episode, but it's like, I don't feel like you really made an episode about that.
Yeah, frequently Picard's moralizing is effective. You know, like, he'll help a viewer understand, you know, the greater message or the moral. And I just didn't care. I don't know. Maybe I just watched this episode on a bad day or whatever, but it didn't work. It didn't work, and I'm looking forward to another different episode. Because anything's got to be better than this, right?
Yeah. Need a palate cleanser.
It should surprise no one that this same makeup supervisor who troweled on Jameson's mud face was the same makeup supervisor who did the premiere episode, who aged DeForest Kelly in similarly terrible fashion.
It might be the same piece of prosthetic face makeup, actually, come to think of it.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. Just, wow. I mean, they brought him back to do more makeup.
Bad.
I mean, hopefully he gets more reps and can sort of figure this out.
Doesn't even look like the kind of wrinkles that old people have. Like, it's not wrinkled in the right places.
Can you imagine? They spend 4 hours on this guy's makeup. Can you imagine, like, you're in the chair for 4 hours and they do that reality show spin you around so you can face the mirror, like, for the big reveal? Can you imagine? You're sitting there for 4 hours reading People magazine, like, just dying. Like, oh, this sucks. Like, getting ready to go on set. They flip you around and that's what you look like. I mean, is it really any wonder why this actor, like, just sort of acted like he didn't give a shit at any point? I think we'd act the same way if that's what we ended up doing.
Perhaps we have been too cruel.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to give the guy a break if that's how he spent every morning before the shoot.
Fair enough.
Hey, Ben.
What's that, Adam?
At any point, did you discover a drunk Shimoda?
Incredible!
Drunk Shimoda!
Well, Drunk Shimoda is our award at the end of every episode for an achievement in character development. A character doing something silly or that just doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Or having the most fun.
Or having the most fun stacking up important shit.
If you'd like to find out more about our special friend, Mr. Shimoda, that's back in episode 2.
You know, I didn't write one down. I guess because the only real option here for me would be the Admiral. You know, he's just, he's really drunk Shimoda-ing up the entire damn episode.
Can you give the Shimoda to the actual actor and not the character?
Well, given the fact that you gave me a drunk Shimoda one time, I think that is fair game.
Yeah, you can break that fourth wall.
Yeah.
I wrote this down. I am not giving a drunk Shimoda in this episode because I think, to me, that recognition involves a character who is having fun, to me, more than anything. And this was just the no fun episode.
Yeah, everybody is really trudging through this episode, aren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a real slog. So, no Shimoda for me.
Well, I feel embarrassed to have even awarded one. I think you're right.
You have more to be embarrassed about than that, my friend.
Hey, which reminds me, you said that you were going to tell some embarrassing stories at some point, and you have not done that yet. So I challenge you to tell me something real embarrassing about your childhood relationship with the Star Trek The Next Generation television program.
I can do that. I can do that. I'll make it a hostage situation. I want 5 more 5-star reviews, and then I'll let the hostage go.
I like that.
You'll have to call again. I'm just leaving. I'm not dressed properly.
What do we got coming up next for what you called a palate cleanser? God, I hope so.
This is episode 16, When the Bow Breaks. Wesley and several children from the Enterprise are kidnapped by a sterile civilization which hopes to use them to rebuild their race. So I guess it's sort of a Children of Men type of deal. I guess I remember this as being like... they're kind of all in like weird rooms with weird pairs of adults that are going to be their parents. And they're like, oh, you should learn to sculpt or you should learn to play an instrument. That's the kind of only thing that vaguely comes back to me about this one. How about you?
Nothing. Again, like this is another episode that's sort of in the fog for me. I don't remember it at all. I think your episode summary sounds weirdly like a... repopulation story, like they're gonna grab all the kids and then they're gonna make a bunch of babies. Is that their plan?
Yeah, I think that they stop being able to have children, so they help themselves to the ones that live on the Enterprise, and that's gotta really burn Picard up because you know that's his that's his stable, that's his harem.
I think if we've learned anything from this season, it's that they're really cool with kidnapping on board the Enterprise. Like, they just let that shit slide.
Yeah, Daja Yar doesn't have any specific procedures designed to prevent it because it's honestly not seen as that big of a crime.
No, that's diplomatic relations.
Yeah.
Yikes. This episode was reviewed as a mostly harmless episode that lifts quite a bit from the cliche handbook. Do you have one of those, Ben? A cliche handbook?
I think anybody listening to this show knows that I do.
I think when I was little watching the show for the first time, I had the Star Trek technical manual. I wanted the cliche handbook. I just didn't have enough allowance money to buy one.
Yeah. Yeah. They were wasting that money on Magic the Gathering cards.
No, I never played Magic. I was too nerdy for that. Oh, you know what? I got a nerdy story to tell you. It's a short one.
Okay.
So, one year for my birthday, speaking of Magic the Gathering cards, one day for my birthday, my grandma sent me a birthday card with a crisp $20 bill in it, as she did. She was a great lady. And with this $20, I went to my neighborhood sports card store. I don't remember what it was called, but you know, one of those stores that sold a bunch of baseball and football cards. They'd have the glass cases with a bunch of their most valuable product out front, and then just sort of behind the cases they'd have a wall of cards of all kinds. You got your basketball, your football, your what have you. At this baseball card store, they had Star Trek cards.
Oh,
like, as in like what basketball cards are to basketball, they had Star Trek cards. Like,
yeah,
like
I'll trade you
cards.
A Geordi for a Worf kind of deal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So 11-year-old me saunters into this baseball card shop, really excited to spend his $20 bill on Star Trek cards.
That's an investment that's going to pay off in the future.
It's like a Saturday morning. Get one of my parents to drive me down there. They're like down the way shopping for groceries. I'm in there by myself. I wait in the line of a couple people to interact with the shopkeeper. The other people in there are like sports fans. I'm a sports fan too, but they're in there buying sports cards. Finally get the guy's attention, like a guy getting a bartender's attention at a pub. And I'm like, hey, how many packs of Star Trek cards can I get for $20? And it was like I had taken a dump on the dance floor, and like the DJ, like the record doesn't just skip, but like the DJ table just flips over and the lights come up. It was a reaction I'd never gotten before. Like, I'm a young kid. I had never up to this point embarrassed myself the way I did in that moment.
Yeah. And I don't think I really realized how other people thought of Star Trek when I was a kid.
Right. Right. And there's a wall of cards, and there's like one single box of Star Trek cards that I saw. So this is an adult. This is like a 50-year-old man, and you can tell that he wants to curse at me son, why the fuck would you want to buy Star Trek cards? That is ridiculous.
Much in the same way that one of us now could say, sir, why the fuck would you open a retail store to sell baseball cards?
Right, exactly. He didn't see the hypocrisy of his statement at the time. But he's like, like a guy wanting to talk a suicide off of the railing of a bridge. He's like, son, do you really want to do that? he sort of looked down at the 20 and looked at me. Like, initially he was upset at the idea, but you know, he's a businessman, he wants to make some money too. But he does his best to be like, you know, we got a lot of other cards here, sports cards that actually have some value. Right. are you sure you really want these Star Trek cards? And I'm like, yes sir, I do, big fan. So he grabs the box of Star Trek cards. I believe there were two boxes, actually. There's original series cards and next generation cards. I think one was silver and one was like a different color silver. I'm sure 1,000 nerds are listening to this podcast screaming at their radio going, saying that I'm wrong about that. But yeah. My memory is that there were two different versions, and I got the next gen version because I was and still am a next generation person. Emptied the box. That's what $20 gets you.
Oh, you bought the whole column, huh?
That's how fucking cheap these cards were. He like a bank teller who had been held up at gunpoint, he like slowly stacks the packs on the table. Like,
he's giving you every opportunity to rethink your purchase.
Yeah, he's really slow rolling me, like there's still a chance here that I could make a good decision. And nope. Like $19.92. Like gave him the 20, took my Star Trek cards, and walked on out of there. Really, like, I was super ashamed the entire time. It wasn't like I was proud to do this. He did everything he could to shame me for my decision, and I just sort of slunk away from there. He offered me a bag, which I definitely took, so that no one would see me walking out with my arms full of Star Trek trading cards.
One of your most opaque bags, please.
Yeah. A bag that you would stick a porno magazine in, please. And I walked away and went home and opened up these Star Trek cards, utterly delighted at my purchase, which I should tell you has not increased in value one dime. This was not an investment on any level. And in fact, it was an investment in shame.
Well, it's you know, part of the foundation that you built in your childhood to enable you to erect the house that is the greatest generation in your adulthood.
That's about the only erection I can achieve associated with the show.
Damok Angelad at Tanagra. Damok Angelad at Tanagra.
I think with that, we're going to bring this exciting episode of The Greatest Generation to a close. A couple points of order. If you ever want to reach out and maybe share in your humiliation with us, you can find us on Twitter. My Twitter handle's @cutfortime.
Mine is Benjamin R. That's Benjamin A-H-R.
We've also taken over a hashtag, #GreatestGen, which we share with some of our country's greatest heroes.
Yeah.
And we're proud and even more humiliated to share that with them.
Yeah, you will see like nine Trek jokes for every one man lying in state in his dress uniform. So it's a pretty bleak area of Twitter, but if you can stomach that, join us.
Yeah, please do. Our website is gawk.biz. And one thing that we need to be doing a little better job of that we haven't been is giving a shout out to our friend Dark Materia, who has graciously and generously approved of our use of his music, both for the beginning and for our interstitials. So Dark Materia is the engineer who makes all our music. And you can find this track and many others on the internet.
Yeah, just search for The Picard Song or Dark Materia, and it'll take you down a very amusing techno rabbit hole.
Yeah, the guy's awesome. And we did that thing that you shouldn't do, which is we grabbed the track and started using it thinking no one would listen to this podcast. And then it blew up real big. And then we had to sort of go hat in hand, like, hey, Mr. Dark Materia, we've been using your song and we didn't ask first and we're sorry. Can we still use it? And to his credit, he was like, yeah, go for it. So our great thanks to him. We're glad we didn't have to go back and retroactively change all the music out for this show.
Yeah. I guess we don't. Do we know if Dark Materia is a dude or a lady?
Have I been referring to him as one or the other? I think like Riker, I should probably casually find that out. Whoever it is.
Dark Materia may be a Binar,
right,
for all we know.
Right. A Binar with a Walkman. All right. Well, that's all I've got to say about that. Hopefully we'll do a better job in shouting him out, as well as all of our other administrative information toward the end.
Yeah. I don't think we ever planned for this show to have any reason for us to handle administrative business at all. So we need to get in the habit of that now that we do.
Well, if anyone is still listening, thanks for that. And we'll see you next time on a real exciting episode of Star Trek The Next Generation. And by that, I mean a real exciting episode of The Greatest Generation.
Make it so.